Hello and welcome to the Monday, August 20th, 2012 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Augusta, Georgia. Let's start today with a vulnerability in the iPhone's SMS messenger. The way SMS messages work is that as the phone sends them out, they're converted to a PDU or a protocol description unit. Now, this format is rather flexible and there is an extension that's used frequently by smartphones, the user data header or UDH. The problem is that in this user data header, the sender is able to specify a reply to address. So I could send you an SMS message and specify a different reply to address. The way phones are supposed to implement that and the way other phones implement it is that the actual from header is shown as well as the reply to address is shown. Now in SMS messages, it's actually kind of hard to fake the from part of the message, but of course this UDH part can be changed rather easily. The only thing you need is some software to manipulate it, and it's available for jailbroken iPhones. I don't think there's anything that allows to do this for out-of-the-box non-jailbroken iPhones. Now, the problem with the iPhone is it only shows the reply to address. And given that the user can create arbitrary user data headers, that reply to address is a lot easier to fake than the from address. Now, Apple's response to this is that you should just use iMessage. And they actually got a point here. SMS messages are not really that strongly authenticated. They're not encrypted. iMessage, on the other hand, does use SSL, does use the Apple-issued certificates for authentication. The only problem is that only Apple devices do understand iMessage. iMessage is available if you are running a computer with Mountain Lion, which means you are running an Apple, or on your iPad or your iPhone. Those are the only devices right now that do support iMessage. I'm not aware of a PC implementation of iMessage or any other operating system that's not Apple supported that does implement iMessage. In part, the security features of iMessage, the reliance on Apple issued certificate, does also make it a little bit hard to implement iMessage in third-party software. But let's take a quick look back at diaries. We did get a lot of responses about the fake eFax messages. These messages are still coming in and they're still leading to various versions of the black hole exploit kit as far as we can tell so far. It shouldn't be too hard to filter them, so if you are looking at the diary from last Friday, you should be able to pick out the subject line or whatever part of the message you find appropriate to filter. If you are not using eFax, you may as well just filter all messages that claim to come from eFax. And the Reuters blog got hacked again. That's the third time this month. First time was August 3rd, and then a couple days later, the Twitter feed got hacked. Now, the first hack was attributed to an outdated WordPress installed. As far as I can tell, Reuters is still using WordPress, so I'm not sure if they actually updated it or maybe they just applied a partial patch or forgot to update some plugin. It's of course always possible that the first leak they had also leaked things like passwords, and now the attacker is just using information they gathered during the first attack. This time the attack was also a little bit more subtle. It just added a report that Saudi Arabia's foreign minister died. The last attacks were a little bit more blatant than obvious, so it wasn't really that easy to mistake the prior attacks for real news like this last posting they did. And Twitter announced that the next version of its API, API version 1.1, will require authentication. At this point, if you're using the API version 1.0, you will need authentication for some functions that are essentially allowing access to personal information. But if you just would like unauthenticated access to public information, like to open Twitter feeds and such, you can do so without authenticating. The reason they're quoting is to get a better understanding of which applications are using this API, but it just makes sense in order to, of course, prevent some denial of service conditions, whether or not they're intentional or not. We actually had a case last Thursday with the Internet Storm Center website. You may have seen that the site wasn't responding all that well. It was just, well, someone's script that tried to parse our data running a little bit too hot against our site, and we had to block that. Of course, the drawback may be that users that don't like authentication or that would like to do something without a Twitter knowing who they are may just fall back to screen scraping. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.